Blog Talk Radio.
Is the significance of government mandates for black people? We'll be talking about that in just a couple of minutes. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination, freedom, and sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your keypad when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will then be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you would like to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the follow button. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Shabaka. who, like me, is a member of Hulu. Peace, Brother Shabaka. How you doing tonight?
Yes, peace to you, sister. I'm doing not 100% like I would usually like to be, but I'm fit, and I like to greet the listening audience and family, and hopefully have them get involved in this conversation.
Okay, so let's get the party started. How did you come up with tonight's question, Brother Shabaka, which is, what's the significance of government mandates for Black people? What brought you to that thought?
Yeah, thank you so much, sister, for that question. You know, it's been in the news, although it's been hidden in the news a little bit. You know, there's been some mandates, threatening mandates, you know, for the past couple months coming from the Biden administration. Now, the interesting thing is that the Biden administration may not necessarily have the legal rights to do that. And let me explain that. In fact, let me explain that a little bit to the listening audience. For, you know, we might have a few young people that might not be familiar, you know, because they stopped the civics class. We no longer have civics. Of course, the older generation of folks probably know this. But, you know, we have in this country, three branches of government, and that they go from the federal down to the local. The local, you know, you usually have, if it's in a city, you know, the mayor, and then you have the city council. And then you do have also a judiciary.
Right.
That's the court system. And likewise, that's also extended to the state. We have the governor, the legislature, and, of course, the state court system. And, of course, naturally, to the feds. The feds, you have the president and the Congress, which is your legislative branch. And then you have, of course, the court system, the highest of which is the Supreme Court. And each state has a Supreme Court. Now, what is not known, these are three supposedly equal branches of government, although they're not quite equal. The legislative has a little bit more power, all right, than the executive, all right? And let me tell you why. Because, see, they make the legislation, all right? They're responsible for making the laws, all right, statutes, all right, to, you know, guide us or at least control our behavior. The executive branch, that's the president, the governor, or the mayor, is responsible to carry out and enforce these laws. And if there is a conflict, you know, in other words, the citizens can challenge the laws that's come out, businesses can challenge the laws that come out, and even various government agencies can challenge executive branch can challenge the law, and that brings in the court system. Now, these mandates are supposed to be executive orders. They are temporary because the president does not make law. The president enforces the law. The governor does not make law. He enforces the law made by the state legislature the same way that the city council makes the laws and the mayor carries them out. The confusion comes in, you know, because we have a party system. You know, we got a Democratic Party and a Republican Party. The parties are made to give the appearance that there is controversy between the two sides. Well, really, they represent the same thing, and they just different expressions of the same thing. And the same thing is this: the European or white control of the system. That's all it is. But you know, since we got you know maybe 35, you know, to 40% of the population here would not be classified as white. All right, so. That's a large minority of people. All right, so you have to sometimes give the illusion. Those who call themselves conservative or Republicans, and I'm not supporting either side because none of them are our people. All right, we're just tricked by both parts. All right, you know, supposedly want law and order and all this other kind of stuff and anything to sustain and maintain the republic. All right. And then they look at themselves as that, well, they are the majority, even though they are a shrinking majority, they're still the majority in this country, and that is white, people who classify themselves as white. On the other hand, you know, you got various segments of the Democratic Party, all right, who from liberals to socialists to liberals to moderates and all that other kind of stuff, who basically says, well, look, we got a diverse population. We have to give the illusion that they have some legitimacy and some power, and so therefore they would basically give the illusion and share power. And you would have, that's why we have, you know, the Black caucus, the Hispanic caucus, and all these other kind of caucuses, which basically are in the Democratic wing of the party. All right. But they're not, you don't necessarily see those same kind of thing in the Republican. All right. So now let me, I just wanted to make that clear, is that the president have executive orders, which is temporary, and what he is supposed to do through his party affiliation in the Congress, all right, try to get laws, all right, to either extend or make those executive orders, permanent, okay?
Permanent, right.
Because remember now, they're only permanent. They're only supposed to be temporary, all right? Mm-hmm. All right, but now the president has made an executive order for these mandates. In other words, if you're a company, well, it's supposed to be hit at all federal governments, but you know that's not true because the Congress and the court system are exempt. He has no power over the Congress, or the court system, right? He can only enforce it in the executive agencies, all right. And but it gives the impression that he has the authority. That's what the news gives you. Is the impression that he has the authority to be able to enforce this throughout the land. He can't do that.
Exactly.
Number one.
Right.
The second thing is that he's demanding that employees, all right, of 100 or more people, okay, that they be required, although they step back from that, be required to that all their employees' contracts, that those contract employees of even those companies that are contracting with the feds, they must be vaccinated, okay? Now, the problem with that, and how he does that is through the agencies. Like, you know, you got OSHA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, OSHA, you know, is a federal agency, okay? And one of the things that OSHA is responsible for, all right, is to, and that's the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They're responsible for the safety, you know, and well-being of employees for corporations or businesses, all right? So they provide, you know, make sure that, you know, safety equipment is there if the employees need it so that they are safe and won't necessarily be injured, you know, as a consequence. All right.
Right.
So, but they're still under the legislative, I mean, under the executive branch. And so the executive order that supposedly Trump made, which you can't find, so he's getting OSHA to come out with what they call a emergency temporary standard, an ETS, to come out, which would require for those corporations of 100 or more people, all right, that they have to get their employees. All right, but now...
Okay, so that's Biden that did
that.
That was Biden
again.
That did that. That's Biden that did that. You said...
it's Biden.
Trump.
They're under Biden, but Biden puts out this executive order. All Biden did was say that he was going to put out an executive order. No, now remember now, which is temporary, because the legislatives, which is the Congress, have to vote on it whether to extend it to make it permanent or make it temporary and then give, you know, particular time frames on it. That's not to be found in the Federal Register, which is where they list legislations. All right, but he has demanded, you know, he has just said this, and so...
Mm-hmm.
Businesses are taking it upon themselves based on his saying, all right, to begin to initiate, you know, mandate, you know, based on the presidents. And then the president does have OSHA, as I mentioned before. Now, let me just I'm gonna bring this home how it's significant to black folks. But let me list you some of the things that has happened in the past month, just to give you an idea of things going on, because the news media make it appear that this is a Democrat versus Republican issue, And in fact, if you go on Fox News, you would think that Fox News is the best friend to black people or people who are, trying to see how to get out of these mandates, because Fox News is basically support the conservative or Republican parties, all right? And they're the ones who are going out of their way to find testimony, you know, of people of stature that has the capabilities as well as the expertise to talk on this subject, which is not the mandates. It's not related to the mandates because, see, most of the other people are sort of like not quarantined. They're not necessarily given an opportunity to come on the news to explain their position why they are against the vaccine as well as their assessment and analysis of what's going on with these with COVID. All right. But just to give you now, November 12th, this is when the Fifth Circuit Court, I think based in Louisiana, November 12th, last month, slammed Biden's regime unlawful, what they call the Biden's regime unlawful mandates. About 10 states filed a lawsuit against the mandate, which was represented by OSHA and the Department of Labor, the U.S. Department of Labor, which is part of the executive branch. All right, that was that. I'll talk more on that a little bit later. The 19th, VAERS. Now, VAERS is the U.S. Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That's VAERS. It's maintained by the CDC. All right.
Okay.
Now remember now, if you look on the news, the vaccine is supposed to be safe, and effective. All right. Uh-huh. And they still talk about the 95%, effective rate, but then they say that it's dwindling, which is now why they're trying to require people to get boosters. Okay, because they find out that it's not as effective as they initially claim. But anyway, and then they're saying that there is no serious effect from that. Now, VAERS is a reporting system which is mandated by law, and that's the CDC maintained that, to report on potential adverse effect from vaccines that have been given, and it's supposed to be an alarm for the CDC to, work with the FDA to pull back any vaccine that has been authorized. So the VAERS is to give that, and it's a passive system. And what I mean by passive is that it doesn't initiate and look at, vaccine. In other words, if it knows that it's inoculated people, it doesn't look and track them down. The adverse effect has to happen, and then either a doctor who is treating a person with the adverse effect, will enter it in VAERS, or a family member of someone who has been affected, negatively by the vaccine, can enter it themselves. It is not a user-friendly platform, but people do attempt to do that, and there are some numbers. And let me give you a few numbers. And your people can go on VAERS. Now, this is as of November, but they can go on VAERS and get up-to-date number. All right, 3,071, there was 3,071 miscarriages that were reported in VAERS, after people received two shots of the vaccine. You can go there, not one, but two shots if they took the Moderna or Pfizer, or one shot if they took J&J. In addition to that, there were 18,000 cases, 18,000. I didn't say 1,800, right? I said 18,000. This is VAERS. This is not Shabaka's. Uh-huh. This is not Shabaka's number. Family, this is not Shabaka's numbers. This is on the CDC's website. 18,000 cases of menstrual disorders. And remember now, some females been concerned about if they took the vaccine. And, you know, particularly those who were young wanted to have families and they wanted to make sure that it was safe for them to do that. Now, these are the numbers that have been coming up as of last month. 6,654 cases of vaginal and urinary hemorrhages, okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is these hemorrhages are occurring in women who are post-menopause.
Okay,
so this is not Chewbacca. Okay, you understand? I mean, they're supposed to have stopped. 1,216 cases of testicular pain, this is in the males, and swelling, and 395 cases of reported erectile dysfunctioning. And this was analyzed by Dr. Joseph Mercola. He has some explanation as a result of these numbers because he writes about these numbers. But this is, I'm just giving the straight data that is reported on VAERS. All right, then comes December. This comes December 6th, this month, not too long ago, a few days ago. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. testified against the COVID vaccine mandates for kids. All right, in the battle for health freedom in Louisiana. Now, he appeared and testified before the Louisiana House Health and Welfare Committee, all right, about the, you know they want to vaccinate 5 years old to that. And he presented some data. He presented the CDC data. He presented the data from Pfizer during its trials. All right.
Okay.
He showed them that data. All right. Now the FDA did not necessarily want to disclose that data when it was required by Freedom of Information Act. They said it would take them 55 years to show the data. Now, did you hear what I just said? They claim it would take them 55 years, although they approved, you know, in less than a year time, they approved the vaccine, all right? But it would take them 55 years to show the data that they approved for the to administer the vaccine. Okay, well, the court didn't go over, and they did provide some data. You know, because the court said, no, 55 years, that doesn't make sense. Okay, right. So he presented, he showed the data that they had that they wouldn't show and made public. So he presented what they were ordered to make public. And from his presentation to the committee, about 13-2 voted to reject the governor, Bel Edwards, proposal to add Pfizer COVID vaccine to the state list of vaccine mandates for school children. All right, now that was the committee. They voted 13-2, and there were some Democrats that sided with the Republicans. You know, after Kennedy just went and presented the information. He said, "This is not my information. This is the information from the trial that Pfizer conducted." All right.
Right.
And he showed the adverse effect that they were administered, all right, to the children. All right, now it's a good chance that the governor of Louisiana will probably veto. All right, but then then the state will have an opportunity to try to see if they can overturn his veto.
Right.
December 9th.
Okay.
Barack Obama school. All right, you understand the Barack Obama school in South Los Angeles. All right, pupils, 12 years and older must be vaccinated. That's according to the school board. Must be vaccinated by January 10th, 2022.
Okay.
But let me tell you this. Parents have been finding out that the school official and staff are offering pizzas to students to get vaccinated now.
Okay.
One lady, she was a Hispanic, but, you know, Barack Obama school, we have an idea of the who's going to that school. Okay.
Right.
All right. So they are offering pizzas, all right, to students, and the young Latino was very upset when she found out that her 13-year-old son brought a card that said he was vaccinated, and she had not given any permission whatsoever or authorized it, and found out, all right, that the schools, all right, were giving out these little gifts to entice the students to get vaccines. Now, she said, and this is hearsay, so I'm only repeating what I heard her repeat, all right, and that was that the official who gave and offered the pizza and vaccinated the child told the child not to mention that she vaccinated him. Did you hear? All right.
Yeah.
Now, the significance of this, family, is this. This is in the Barack Obama school, so we ain't talking about, you know, poor white kids, maybe some that goes there, all right, who are going to get vaccinated, and the tricks that are being perpetrated in order to get them there without parents' permission or consent. That's the key. Mm-hmm. Now, they're doing that in Washington, D.C., all right, which is still a predominantly black town, with a black mayor, with a predominantly black city council, who are doing the same thing. Now, now these are our elected officials who are taking it upon themselves, all right, that you're a 12-year-old or 11, it's 11-year-old in D.C., you're a 12-year-old and 11-year-old, what decisions do you know about your health?
Exactly.
You might just be becoming, you know, puberty. You know,
right.
I mean, what do you know about your health? All right. Health care.
Yeah.
You know, all you know is, you know, you want to go down McDonald's and get that hamburger, you know, if you feel hungry, or Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're not very knowledgeable about your health. And a lot of our school age children are overweight. Okay. So the enticement, I mean, I'm looking at the dishonesty that is being perpetrated by the system, which is mandated and trying to get these jabs into our arm, and have not really fully explained to the extent the safety. I mean, because it's only been there, usually takes about 10 to 12 years. And the fast track, there's no such thing as fast track, because you have to observe people over time. That's why it takes 10 to 12 years. You got to observe them over time so that there's anything that might come up that might be beyond a year or two, it can be easily reported. But anyway, I didn't like the idea. Apparently, I'm glad the young Hispanic sister didn't like the idea that her 13-year-old son was enticed, all right, bribed, in a sense, you know, to get a shot, all right, and offered not to, and the staff person didn't want him, all right, to report it to his mother. Now, I found that very disturbing.
But you know that,
you go ahead, sister.
You have to be 18 to enter into a contract. So all of this is, you know, this stuff with the children, taking the children to enticing them to get contracts, all of that is basically a buildup of fraud. And also, too, now they're trying to say that because you send your child to school, that is considered to be your approval for your child to get the jab, because you know the children are getting jabs. So
and you surrender your parental rights.
Just by sending your child to school. Brother Shabaki, it looks like we have someone with a question, so I'm going to open the line and let them ask their question or make their comment. Caller with the last four digits, 4600, please state your name, and ask your comment, ask your question or make your comment.
Yeah, this is Bianchi calling from the Midwest and South. How you doing?
We're doing good. How about yourself?
Doing good, brother.
You know, on your question, and you know, you were speaking about OSHA. OSHA was never designed to do what Biden is trying to get them to do. When they mention health and OSHA, it's protecting the worker from the dangers of the job.
Uh-huh.
Not what the worker can bring to the job is dangerous. Matter of fact, they don't need OSHA anymore because companies have safety programs and staff that's in that business of making sure that things are going along accordingly that comply with their insurance regulations. Just
right.
Like they don't need the Department of Education. So Biden is putting that on people. And how would it affect? Well, I just said, if you had companies that had employees, black companies or whoever, then you have him making a mandate. Mandate's not a law. Mandate is just saying something. And then
right.
they're trying to make you get involved in it, throw their responsibility over onto an employer. And that's totally wrong. See, here's the thing. And this is a lot of this falls on the shoulders of the population in the country. The population in the country has got it backwards. The federal government is not supposed to be dictating to the states. The states give the federal government its power. And the states, state legislature, gets their power from the people that they represent. That's how it's supposed to work. We the people, the sovereign states, then the federal government. Well, people today have this thing all backwards, and that's why I come on this crazy mess is going on. Who in the heck are you going to force to take a product that has no liability on it? In other words, if it make you grow a horn out the top of your head, well, you can't sue nobody like you could if your Jeep Wrangler brakes went out while you're going down the highway. So that's the difference.
That's right.
That's very true.
Right, very, very important. Very important comments, brother, that you make about the legalities of what the Biden administration is doing. And in fact, at least the Moderna and Pfizer are to make you grow horns. It's called a spike protein.
Yeah.
I'll say a little bit more about that later. But you are so right. But see, the mandates, as you're saying, is to incur in our mind because we look at the presidency as having a lot of power. Consequently, all right, we're led to believe that he has sufficient right to dictate to us that we can put something in our arm that could be harmful, which he does not.
No, he doesn't.
But thank you for that.
Let me add a couple more things, please. And see, a lot of this goes on because the public is ignorant. Then when you look at the school system, well, you can understand why. Heck, when I was coming up, we knew a whole lot more as children coming out of elementary school than grown-ups walking around. I give you a recent thing. This case with Jesse Smollett, you've been keeping up with that said he was attacked in Chicago by some white guys. They jumped him and said this is MAGA country, meaning Make America Great Again. And he said they threw bleach on him. All right. Well, that happened January the 29th in Chicago, which, by the way, was the coldest day in 34 years. It was like 27 below zero. Well, bleach freeze at 19 degrees.
So they couldn't throw it. Okay.
Didn't know that.
Unless they were hitting them with ice cubes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Yes.
You brought that up, but I haven't. That again shows some of the misconception that we get, and we're getting that from our news media, which doesn't necessarily always tell us the truth.
Yeah, they dumb too, believe it or not. But you guys go ahead and carry on. I really appreciate the conversation.
I appreciate your comments.
Okay. Thank you.
Really appreciate your comments.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. To add to what Brother Pianke said, he was saying that the mandate is not a law. We know that a mandate.
The law
is
comes
not
from
a
the.
But
right, the law comes from
on,
from the Congress.
Yes, and what is happening is the Mockingbird Media reports that Joe Biden has created a mandate, and they say it. They attach the word law to it or make people think it's the law. And as we've said, people have not had civics classes. They don't know how the government works. So they've gotten to the point where they just think, and a lot of people just get their information from the news. So they say whatever the news says, that's what people believe is the case. So people think.
Yeah, well, they get it from the media. I'm glad you mentioned that. The CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, you know, all have funds contributed to them by Pfizer.
By Pfizer, exactly.
You,
and do you
by
know
Pfizer,
that a
you
lot
see
of
it on, you see it on, you know, they have to announce their sponsors.
Yeah.
So look at any of those programs. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, if you were a host on any of those programs, you think you're going to say anything negative about the vaccine and still keep your job?
Well, I would imagine that what happens is the Pfizer, what is the word when they, you know, like they go over the news before they allow you to tell it, you know, so that they, I guess, censor or monitor what people are allowed to say. So,
right.
Because they're paying for it, so you have to say is what we used to say, he who pays the piper calls the tune. So since they're paying,
who pays the piper calls the tune.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
and this is a exactly, and that's a good point to make is that you can't. Yeah, go ahead.
And also, too, that is coming out that a lot of these legislatures and governors and mayors and, you know, people that have a say-so in voting for whether or not these mandates become, or whether or not these gene therapy injections, whether or not they're pushed on the people, a lot of them have stock in Pfizer. So the more vaccines they push or the more vaccines or the more jabs that get purchased by the government. And that's also the case with Anthony Fauci. The CDC makes money off of every so-called vaccine that is sold. So
Go
ahead.
Right. No, you're correct. If you follow the money trail, then you got a good idea what's going on.
Okay.
And Fauci, you know, the NIH and NAID, which is what he's the richest. He's the highest paid government employee. He gets more money than the president, which is interesting because see, he gives the pharmaceuticals get a lot of contracts from him.
Mm-hmm.
He sends out stuff, and the school system too. And you know, if, I'm not going to buy, but I listen to some of the experts, and that's Kennedy's book, who talks about the real Fauci. He goes into a lot of details about the amount of money that Fauci makes and the patents that he has and, of course, the amount of what he calls conflict of interest because these people are in the federal government. They make patents and then the pharmaceuticals who get the patents from the amount of money that we pay as taxpayers, and then yet they charge us, all right, for that. Now they charge when found the vaccines are so called, and then charge the government, you know, X amount of dollars. And so now the government feels the need to get rid of the stockpile of stuff that it bought. But anyway, let me go back to what I talked about a little bit earlier about the significance of Robert Kennedy's speech back there last month. He made a speech, as I said, to the committee, the health committee in for the legislature in Louisiana. Okay, now, the significance of this to us is this. 30%. Now, this is a mandate to have 12 years old and above in the school system, mandate them to be inoculated, okay, with the vaccine. 30 to 35% of the students in Louisiana are black. Population of Louisiana is about 30 to 35% black. It's about 40% in Mississippi, okay? All right, and it's a southern state. Now, if you and I know about the southern state, how we are treated in the southern state, and the southern state, Louisiana, has the lowest, all right, the lowest, and particularly among blacks, the lowest vaccination rate. So what do you think what's that going to mean? Now, and I know that I'm not living in Louisiana. I know that you're not living in Louisiana. Some of our listeners may not be living in Louisiana, but they may know somebody. I mean, in fact, I know a few people that live in Louisiana who got kids, all right? So what does that mean? That means then that they're going to be forced, if some stand is not taken, you know, to say, well, look, how can you mandate this to kids when CDC records show that, yes, there are some people that have died from COVID who are young, but usually they've had all kinds of complications. And the death rate among the young people, you know, up to, I think, the early to mid-20s, okay, is something like, all right, the recovery rate, I should say, is something like 99.98%. That means, you know, you have a 0.02% chance of dying. If you I think it's higher than that. That's and they have it broken down at the CDC. So you can go there on their website. They got an FDA. They have the data there, the number of people that have died, okay? And most of the deaths among people our age range. And the recovery of death in our age range is 95%. Now, 5% of those that die, all right, they know are comorbidities. In other words, they have other diseases. And if you listen to the terminology now, they don't say that you died of COVID. They say that you died of a disease associated with COVID. Listen to how they put out the COVID death. They changed the conversation because of the condemnation that they've been given. Okay? And see, we don't see the politics behind that because we're looking at CNN, MSNBC, it doesn't tell us all that. All they're doing is pushing the mandate of the pharmaceutical because they're being paid by the pharmaceutical. So they're not necessarily going to push the truth. Okay. Right. Now, this affects us because we're going to be the highest victim percent-wise, you know, from these mandates. All right. Consequently, and we have a lot of our professionals pushing the mandates.
Absolutely.
A lot of them is pushing it as a consequence of their job. So, you know, that's understandable. But, you know, the possibility is they don't have the data of the injury that from the Pfizer data. I'm not even talking about theirs data. I'm talking about from the Pfizer data.
we got
to ahead. You had a question?
Recognize that in a lot of these professions, they get paid so much for every person or everyone that gets the vaccine. So the doctors get paid X amount of dollars. The companies that are pushing the mandate, the company, the overall company gets so much for every person, you know, every one of their employees that gets paid. It's a big money thing. It has nothing to do with health. Everybody's getting money, but the person getting the jab, and they stand to die. So that's...
You're right. It can't be with health, because how can you mandate that a truck driver who drives by himself, who happened to be a truck driver of a company that hires him and maybe 100 plus more people, he's not in contact with anybody, okay?
Exactly.
All right. While he's driving, he's not in contact with anybody while he's driving.
Right.
You want to call in? All right, but now take a janitor.
Uh-huh.
A janitor who works in a prison situation. How many contacts do he come in contact with? So why should he have the same requirements, or rather, why should a truck driver have the same requirements as the person, all right, who sees a whole bunch of people every day, where he might, the only time he sees the people is when he make a stop. And he's not seeing a whole bunch of people. They're unloading the truck. Once they unload the truck, he gets in it and drive to his next destination.
Uh-huh.
You see, and in other words, the formula that they have is a one set fit all. They don't need that formula because they're too damn lazy, all right, to try to come up with a meaningful plan, which is isolate those people who are the most vulnerable, all right, and then make sure the other folks, you know, are relatively safe by the environment that you set in, all right? But the people, you know, our age and older, okay, yeah, we might need a little bit more protection, all right? But the truck driver don't need as much. 28-year-old truck driver, I mean, his recovery work, if he catches COVID, it's like 99.98%. Okay,
right.
He's virtually untouched. You know, he gets a sneeze. All right. The point that I'm trying to make is because the truck driver, black folks are entering that field. All right.
Uh-huh.
Who you think are the most of the janitors in these prisons? Yeah, there's a few white folks there, but you know, if you're in the high density black population, the janitors are us. Okay,
uh-huh.
You understand that. So, the mandate is requiring. You know, that we get jabbed in the arm. See, you have to prove to me, you have to, first of all, prove to me, you know, that I'm at risk based on your statistics, all right, of dying or being hospitalized as a consequence of my condition. Now, I'm in relatively healthy condition, all right, relatively speaking, all right. All right, I don't have necessarily the same risk factors as my nephew is, you know, 20-some years older, but he's on dialysis.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You understand what I'm saying? He has more of a risk than I do. All right, I don't.
But they
right,
owe
so.
You more money. They owe you more money. You're making, you get a Social Security benefit. You're getting a pension. You might be getting insurance payments. All of those funds, I guess you could call them, are bankrupt, basically. They don't have the money. They want to kill you so they don't have to pay. That's why they are doing all of this to the seniors. It has nothing to do with caring about the seniors' health. It is that they don't want to get caught busted. And that's the whole thing. They're killing people so they don't have to make payments. It's all about the money from top to bottom. It's everybody getting paid to kill the people that they don't want to pay insurance to. They don't want to pay their medical care. They don't want to pay. It's like they said, they have comorbidity. That means they have to pay for them health care. They don't want to have to do that anymore. The funds are not there. It's unfortunate that that's the kind of society we live in, where they'd rather kill you so they don't have to pay for you. And that's the whole thing about, you know, taking care of, they say, you know, we don't want Granny to die. Yeah, you want Granny to die because you don't want to have to pay Granny's pension and security anymore, and you don't want to pay for her health insurance.
Right. Very good point. In fact, I made those my views on that, you know, strongly, you know, some months ago, that the COVID and even the vaccine were designed to take, you know, the older population out of here, particularly those people who were who had retired on Social Security or, you know, SSI and stuff like that. Such that that would trim the population because, you know, most analysts are saying that the Social Security is going to be run out of money in the early 2030s. Well, that's not too far away. Okay, so another analyst says it'll be run out before the decade is out. So that's even closer. So, yeah. And so, you know, the government is scared of the people, even though they try to keep the people in ignorance, because they know that the people, you know, once masked, you know, they don't have a chance. But let me indicate the importance, I think, that for our people to do, because it stressed the need that, see, this information that I got is being done primarily in the white frame of reference. They're the ones who are getting this information. They're the ones involved in these lawsuits because, see, we don't have the civics class. They know that the president is acting illegally and that the agencies under his control are acting illegally based on their understanding from their civics course that they did take about how the Constitution is supposed to be run. All right, so they're taking it out. Man, they're getting support. I mean, it's a number of lawsuits, but you never hear these lawsuits mentioned on MSNBC because, number one, they're being funded by Pfizer. All right. And so this thing that the Fifth Circuit, and like I said, it was 10 states. All right. Interestingly, I just found out that the Senate had voted to repeal the Biden vaccine mandates for employers.
Okay.
That was just a few that, well, all right. Now, remember now, the Senate, you know, the Senate is 50-50, and Kamala Harris comes in there. So that means then that some Democrats went along with the Republicans. All right?
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Now, you know, it hasn't gone to the House. There's a little bit more Democrats in the House. But right now, people are raising some concerns about why, you know, their liberal elements who are supposed to be caring for them are pushing these mandates, and then particularly in some states, push mandates where the parents don't have need to know the knowledge, you know, or have consent.
Mm-hmm.
When you said earlier that you have to be 18 years old, all right, but you can't, but you can give this to 11-year-old. Okay, and don't have to have their parents. All right, and in fact, by not showing you or at least informing you that the child has been consented, if anything happens, that almost shelters you from liability. You understand? Because see, you were the school system that permitted the child to be vaccinated without the consent of parent. All right. So, and then you didn't inform them. So if I see something happen to my child, I don't know what's going on, and the parents can, the school system can claim ignorance because those records are, you know, somewhat sealed in a sense. But anyway, I thought that was interesting, but let me read this thing from the Fifth Circuit. Apparently the Fifth Circuit was really pissed off with this and they really thought that Biden was really overstepping. And as I said, it was 11 countries states. All right. And now this is the Circuit Court Judge Kirk Engelhardt. All right, this is his opinion. He says in June 2020, the OSHA made an emergency temporary standard, and it was not necessary. In other words, they didn't prove that they were protecting people from occupational exposure to infectious disease, including all right, occupational exposure. It's something that the brother said, you know. All right. All right. So he goes on and makes those claims. He says, in fact, in its 50-year history, OSHA has issued just 10 ETS, and that's emergency temporary standards. All right. Has issued 10. Six were challenged in court. Six of the 10 were challenged in court. Only one survived.
Okay.
So their record is not really that good, right?
Uh-huh.
Right.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, they need better lawyers or something. Okay. In addition to that, on his order, this is on page 7, number 1. He says after the president voiced his displeasure with the country's vaccination rate in September, talking about September 2021. The administration poured over the U.S. code in search of authority or a workaround for imposing a national, vaccine mandate.
Uh-huh.
All right, so he turned it over to OSHA.
Okay.
The statute in power OSHA allows OSHA to bypass typical notice and comment proceeding for 6 months by providing for an emergency temporary standard, an ETS. Like I said, these things are temporary. They weren't meant to stay because, see, they are responsible because you remember that the federal agency, all right, still have to report to Congress on what they're doing, their effectiveness, which is why you see their directors always appearing, all right, before Congress to explain what they're doing, and they don't do a very good job of it because they're lying a lot of it. So, again, the significance to us is that we're going to, because we're not as organized as the majority population, all right, although we are resisting, over 55% of the U.S. population claimed that they were vaccinated. All right. Now, that number rises when you consider that it's probably over 70%, you know, have received at least one dose of either the Pfizer or Moderna. Okay. So that means that a majority of the, particularly the European population, have been really coerced. 28% of blacks. So the mandates are directed towards us, the 28%, as opposed to the 55 or 70%. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so, but we don't have our legal attorneys, lawyers, because they don't have the resources or knowledge, you know, or they're supposed to, but they're not moving. They don't have no money. All right. All right, but the Europeans have ways of pulling money even if they don't. I mean, Robert Kennedy just announced that he got $1 million to continue lawsuits. I'd like to have $1 million to continue lawsuits, too. I got a whole bunch of lawsuits I like to start up. But, see, that shows you us. But we're going to be – the focus of the mandate is on that 28%.
Uh-huh.
All right. And that we're going to get hit hard because we're the ones, all right, because of the experience that we've had in this country and because we know people who have that not necessarily benefited well when they took the injections. All right.
Right.
So we're a little apprehensive. So we have knowledge from our past and we can see. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because those numbers that I cited are numbers that are really relatively high when you consider that the VAERS system is passive and it undercounts. Some say as much as 10%. So you can say 10 times as much as the numbers that I have. You begin to start getting into the millions. So you know somebody. All right. Or you heard of somebody even by word of mouth. All right. So our thing is, if you do not want to depend on this, then that means that we have to build up the economic muscle, all right, to develop our own institutions. Now, you've heard often Brother Thurman always talk about a cultural center. Well, we need also included with that cultural center a health and wellness center where we can know that we're going to be legitimate, and we need the economic clout. See, the reason that a Kennedy can do that, you know, because his family had money. I call it the rich, the billionaires and the billionaires and the multi-millionaires fighting it out. Okay, well, we're not in that class. Okay, but if we want to be in that class, we spend over $1.3 trillion. We can be in that class if we directed our funds such that we can develop those institutions, all right, that can develop a wellness center and the cultural information to extend that, and the businesses, we can dictate in our area, you know, what kind of politics is played, all right? Mm-hmm. Like Kennedy went over there and spoke in Louisiana, 13-2 vote. He convinced 13-2 that they need to reject what the governor's going down with. Okay, obviously, if we had the same kind of clout in those areas where we live, we could do exactly the same thing. The Europeans are raising suits. A number of governors is out here saying, look, man, and the reason that the governor's out here, because they don't like the president telling them what to do, and particularly somebody they consider senile. All right?
Right.
So, they think he's crazy. And, of course, you know, Kamala, if she gets to be president, you don't think they're going to listen to her, and particularly in these Republican states. But I'm saying all this to say is that we're being led because we think that the president has all the power, maybe because we looked at Trump and it looked like Trump had all the power. But Trump doesn't have all the power. The power rests primarily in the Congress. And the president and the Congress don't get along, they can take it to the courts.
Right.
All right. That's supposed to be the check. All right. But right now, Biden overextended his power, and the courts shot him down. All right. And I expect that there's going to be many of those. We need to be paying attention as we develop our economy and as we support those institutions that are looking out to build us. We need to be attentive to that. And right now, we don't need to be over there, you know, partying with the Europeans spending our money there. We need to be partying with ourselves spending our money here so that we can develop the institution necessary to protect us, because their institution obviously is not protecting us. And if you don't believe me, tell me one institution that protected us over the 400 or 500 years we've been here. Yeah, you got to think about it, right? All right. I thank you, sister. I know I'm running out of time.
It's just a little bit after 10 o'clock. So thank you very much for the information you shared with us tonight. I would always look forward to hearing what you share regarding this COVID scenario. And it goes deep and wide. It's a lot we need to know. We want to thank everyone for joining us this evening, and we want to invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace, and thank you, sister.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. But if you know what life is worth, you would look for yours unheard. And now when you see the light, you stand up for your right. Yeah.
Get up, stand up.
Yep, yeah.
Stand up for your right.
Don't give it up.
Get up, stand up.
Get up, stand up.
Stand up for-